Good morning, church. Hope that you have a Bible with you, and I invite you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at God's Word, starting in that place together in just a moment. Thank you so much for the invitation to be with you today. It is always a privilege and an honor to stand before an assembly of people and to preach the Word of God. I love it so much. This wonderful congregation at Brooksville has been so kind and encouraging to me. It's just always a joy to be with you. And, of course, the opportunity to see Mom and Dad is a blessing also, and so I feel doubly blessed and just a part of the church family here, and it's a wonderful day that we can be together and worship God, sing praises to God, and study His Word. Have you found Ephesians chapter 6? The Scripture says in that place, the Holy Spirit tells us, children, verse number 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I look out here today and I see the sisters and they got their pretty dresses on and some of you have flowers and corsages and the children look so nice and cleaned up and happy and I just know it is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. And we know that we love the Lord Jesus Christ when we keep His commands, when we observe all that He teaches us. Did you know that 9 times throughout the Scriptures, in both the Old Testament, the Law of Moses, as well as our New Covenant in Jesus Christ, 9 times throughout the Scriptures, we are taught, honor your father and mother, honor your mother, as we just read in the Scripture here a moment ago. But how do we honor our mothers? And that's what I want to talk with you for a few moments this morning. What does that look like? To begin, I'd like to tell you a story, a true story from our nation's history. Do you know the name Anna Maria Jarvis? Anna Maria Jarvis lived from 1864 to 1948. Born in West Virginia, the ninth of 12 children. The ninth of 12 children. 11. I would want to get that right. Her mother would know the difference. And yet, can you imagine that? I know families used to be a lot bigger, but boy, 10, that's a lot. That is a lot. And raising up children, you mothers in the room, can you imagine raising up 11 children? Now, when Anna Maria was 12 years old, she began seriously considering the question, how would I honor my mother? And she was actually sitting in a Bible class. Her mother was teaching a Bible class to children and talking about all the Scriptures teach about mothers. And she ended the class with these words, I hope that someone sometime will found a memorial Mother's Day commemorating her for the matchless service she renders to humanity in every field of life. She's entitled to it. And that stuck with young Anna Maria. Because at her mother's graveside in 1905, she determined, by the grace of God, Mother, you will have your Mother's Day. And she went to work. In 1907, Anna Maria began an aggressive campaign to establish a National Mother's Day. And she had some success when in 1908, the first Mother's Day celebration was held in the city of Philadelphia. She became a frequent speaker going around the country talking about how important it would be to have a National Mother's Day. By 1914, President Woodrow Wilson made the official announcement proclaiming Mother's Day, a national holiday to be held on the second Sunday of May. Anna Maria Jarvis is the founder of Mother's Day and our National Mother's Day that we're celebrating in the country today. Now, isn't that a grand way to honor your mother? How do you ever top that? Is that what it means to honor your mother? And before you think, well, she got it. I'm always going to be second fiddle to her. I'd like to tell you there's a twist in this true story. And the twist is that by the end of her life, Anna Maria Jarvis began petitioning to rescind the National Mother's Day. She actually, in her later years, became troubled and disappointed at the commercialization of the holiday. She accused the confection, floral, and greeting card industries of corrupting this day It was supposed to be a day of reflection and memorial and honoring to mothers. She was actually disgusted at the idea that people would buy some chocolates or a printed greeting card as a substitute, in her opinion, a cheap substitute, for honoring their mother. A few purchased tokens of celebration was not honoring your mother, according to Anna Maria Jarvis. The lady who gave us Mother's Day says there's a whole lot more to honoring mother than a day, than a card. Wow. But I will tell you this, that if we go back to the Word of God, we will have seen that God's people had been taught to honor mother for millennia, a long time before Miss Jarvis came along, and gives us picture as to what that looks like, as well as what that doesn't look like. In fact, I want to spend some time with you this morning in the book of Proverbs to see what the Holy Spirit, through the wise King Solomon, instructed people to honor mothers, to honor father, honor mother. But we're focusing today on honoring mothers. It's almost some list of do's and some don'ts. In fact, as we go through the notes, and I appreciate Dad handing that out to everybody, this morning we're going to talk about from the Proverbs three things or three ways that do not honor mother, and then three ways that do honor mother. According to God's word, and when we are obedient to the scriptures, we know that we are faithful to Christ, loving Christ, and truly honoring mother. Well, let's go to the notes and let's go to the scriptures, all right? So number one, that's not honoring your mother. Here's the don'ts. When we're involved in these things, when our relationships with our parents look like this, this is not honoring mother. And we need to look at making some changes to get right and get in line with the Word of God. Number one, this is not honoring your mother when you forsake the teaching of your mother. The Scripture says in Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Some of your versions say your mother's law, "for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." According to the Bible, a God-given work for our mothers is to put some teaching before the family, to put some rules before the children, and these things will enrich our lives. So let us appreciate the teaching of mother, the law of mother, to benefit children. In fact, if you continued on reading in Proverbs chapter 1 and after verse 9, you would find even in that place these warnings. Do not consent with sinners who entice you to violence. Do not go along with the crowd that would lead you to theft, that would lead you to crime, that would lead you to evil. Can we pause for just a moment and appreciate how often the rules of our house, how often the teachings of our mothers are there to be a good influence upon us, and particularly to guard us against those influences and those associations that would lead us astray. Sometimes we have those conversations with our parents. So-and-so's doing this, so-and-so's doing that. Everybody's doing it. And mother said something very wise, like, well, if they were going to jump off of a bridge, were you all going to jump off of a bridge? Is that what you're going to do that to? Or will you abide by and keep the law, the rule, the teaching of mother? Go with me in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 21. In Proverbs 6, and verse number, well, we'll start reading in verse 20. Proverbs 6 and verse 20. "My son, keep your father's command, the scripture says, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the light." Excuse me, "the law of light, reproofs of instruction are the way of life." The way of life. Her teaching is to prepare you for life. She has an indispensable role of molding your character and your heart according to God's will, with advice, with instruction that leads you, that keeps you, that guides you as you grow to adulthood and lead your life. And so what we read here then is, do not forsake it. What's that mean? Don't cast it off. Don't neglect it. Don't rebel against the wishes of our parents, our mother. We are to obey. Disobedience is, and rebellion is, that's not honoring your mother. Back talking your mother, that's not honoring your mother. Door slamming and hollering at the top of your lungs is not honoring your mother. Pretending you do not hear your mother talking to you is not honoring your mother. Sneaking out around the house and trying to circumvent the rules and the expectations of the home, this is not honoring your mother. And it may very well be that we've been involved in some things in our lives, wanting to, when mom's around, put on a good face, but actually we've been dishonoring mother. Scripture warns us, don't do that. The opposite honors mother: obedience. And obedience is shown with an attitude and with a behavior. It's both. We're taught in the New Testament in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to God. And we got a number of children in the room today. We've got some young adults in the room today. And I'm so glad that you are here. Because obeying mother means doing what they ask. That's the behavior. But also when they ask. And this is about the attitude. This is about the heart, to be eager to respond to our parents and to our mother. You honor them when you step up and respond. In other words, don't make mother repeat herself 5 times or 10 times. Don't make her feel like she's always nagging you about something. Have a heart that's willing to obey and to heed. This pleases God. Solomon teaches us to obey our mothers, and it's the smart thing, because obeying them really prepares us and teaches us to understand something God wants us to know for all of our life. And that is about authority. We have the wonderful example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as he was growing up, he obeyed his parents. His youth is captured really in just a couple of verses in the New Testament, but we would not want to read over them too quickly. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. What does that mean? He heard and he obeyed his parents. He was subject to them. And because we respect God and we would obey God and respect the word of God and obey the word of God, so we make this application to be subject to our parents, to be obedient to our parents. It makes you more like Jesus. And we all want to be more like Jesus. All right, let's go on. Let's go on. We go back to the Proverbs, and we would see that if we choose foolishness in this life, we're not honoring mother. Several Proverbs warn us about the dangers of choosing foolishness, all right? Proverbs 10, verse 1, I put these on the screen. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Proverbs 15, verse 20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Proverbs 17, verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. That's mother. Boy, these are not good words to hear. Grief, despise, bitterness. Of course, this is not honoring your mother. It says, this is the way of the fool. And I want you to appreciate that when we read about the fool in the book of Proverbs, we're not talking about the court jester and someone with a great sense of humor and can always make you laugh, all right? There's an ongoing contrast in the book of Proverbs, really in all of the wisdom literature. The wise one is the person who is interested in the path of God and will follow it. The fool is the one who makes choices apart from God, goes a different way than God's way, or would even rebel and walk and act contrary to the word of God. That's foolishness in the Proverbs. But our decisions, particularly if we choose to lead a foolish life and go against the word of God, don't just impact us, do they? When we choose to sin, we may not know how far those consequences can reach, but one of the things the Proverbs says is, be mindful of your parents. Father and mother, if you choose the way of foolishness, it brings grief and hurt to them. And godly mothers are wounded when they witness their children reject the values that they were taught, or even walk away from the gospel, the faith that they once held. It's difficult to be a parent. There is a whole lot of self-doubt and second-guessing that goes along with parenting. And for Christian parents, I know we are trying our best. We are trying to model the faith for our children, instill the faith in our children and the love for God. And it really is a great, great joy. It is the greatest joy to have children. I know for some sisters in Christ, it really is their dream come true when they finally were able to be married and to have that baby. Maybe it was because they struggled having a baby at all. Maybe that it was even from a young age, that was just always the dream. You know, this is what I wanted in life. I wanted to be married. I wanted to have a Christian family. I wanted to be a mom. That's what I wanted. And boy, they got the kids now and they're married and they're just all about it. And their babies are little and so there's nursing and they're changing diapers and dressing them in the matching outfits like we got in that pew over there. Looks so pretty, right? And then the kids get a little bit older, and so life changes, and what's parenting looking like now? Well, buddy, we're involved in helping the kids with the homework, and we're going to go help out with the PTA, and we're carpooling, and the kids are getting a little bigger again, and what are they doing? They're doing sports now, and they're doing scouts now. We're trying to juggle them around and get them from place to place, and of course, there's the church commitments, and we're trying to keep up a prayer life and devotion, and life is, whew, life's about raising these kids. That's a full-time work, isn't it? Yes, it is. And you go through that, and maybe, I mean, for years. But then it seems like a day comes, and kids don't listen. This dream of my life is not hearing me anymore. They do things, and they're the very things you taught them against. They aren't into spending time with the family. Maybe some of them are getting into some trouble. Maybe even really bad trouble, right? You know, trouble with the law. And they've got these friends. You don't like these friends. They are way too familiar with their boyfriend and their girlfriend. You're fretting about where that might lead. They're hurting themselves. They begin to talk and ask questions you never dreamed. They ask, like, I'm not sure if I am a boy or if I am a girl. They come and they say, yeah, I don't believe in God. I'm going to go a different way. That whole journey, that whole path I just described is veering off. There is a word for that in the book of Proverbs. And it is the word of foolishness. This foolishness of choosing a path apart from God's way. Choosing to act contrary to the way that God has taught and blessed us with parents in order to try to help and guide us. And it is so upsetting. It is so heartbreaking. I will tell you a story. True story about a really good friend. My wife Julie is with us today. You'll have to meet Julie if you haven't met her yet. But Julie and I have a really good friend back in Tennessee. She's about our age. And when she was young, she was a teenager, she's pretty wild. And she'll tell you she is pretty wild. And she got into some trouble. She really did get in all kinds of trouble. And one night it really came to a head between her and her mother. And her mother didn't know what to say and finally just yelled at her, I hope you have a daughter just like you. Stormed out of the house. And she's just crushed. And she's crying. She goes to her room. And her brother came by a little bit later and sat down on the bed with her and put his arm around her. And he said, oh, you know mother's just mad. You know when she's mad, she says things that she doesn't really mean. I'm sure she doesn't want you to have a daughter like you. That's just meanness to wish you'd have a daughter like you. Just meanness, isn't it? Maybe some of you have had some situations like that and know about the hardships of parenting and raising up kids, and that's where we live. But I want to encourage all the families this morning. And I want to encourage you beautiful mothers and my sisters in Christ. No matter how hard it is getting with the children, they are still your children. Do not ever give up on that dream and that joy. of having those children, even when the times get very difficult. Take some solace this morning that the children of our Lord rebelled against Him. And so love them like God loves you. Agape, unconditionally, and acting for their good. I want you to know this morning that you are where you are supposed to be in their lives with these children and raising them up as their mother. That is in God's providence. But that all of us need to know and understand this morning, choosing foolishness does not honor mother. Finally, from the Proverbs in this portion, what's not honoring mother? Despising mother in her old age. Proverbs 23, verse 22, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Don't despise her when she is old. There's a beautiful quote. I put it in the notes. I don't know who said it. Mothers hold their children's hands for a short while, but their hearts forever. And maybe it's because of all the care that they gave us. After all, who was it that stayed up with you late at night, changing your diapers and rocking you to sleep? And who did patch the knees and kiss the bumps and the bruises and the boo-boos? Who kept you in clothes and kept you well fed? Who kept you in line? Maybe dad was out of work. For some people, maybe dad was out of the picture. Who helped you with homework? Who was volunteering at school? Who was baking cupcakes for the parties and the birthdays? Who was your number one cheerleader? And I always told you, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. And when you had some kids of your own, who was it that you called and said, I really need some help being a good parent? I'm not sure what to do right now. We're taught in the scriptures that children are the Social Security plan of their parents, all right? That is, regardless of country or culture or whatever other social nets there are for the aged or the infirm, God has taught Christians your family and to remember your parents. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Christians know that regardless of what other opportunities or services there are to care for the family, we are there by God's will. That aging is part of life. And family gets older, mothers get older. And especially if dad's not in the picture. And so children repay their parents and minister to them. Christians do not despise or neglect their aging parents. Again, I think about the wonderful example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who knew even as he was hanging upon the cross, Mary must be cared for, his mother Mary. In John 19, verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Children, you may not always be the ones who can meet every physical need of an aged or an infirmed parent personally, but you are going to see that those needs are met. That is on you in the eyes of God. You stay involved. And our mothers, our parents deserve the best care that we can provide. Even if it comes to a place where we might have to risk our parents accusing us of despising them. The truth is we'd be despising them if we didn't take some steps to care for them. If we left them alone. If we neglected them. If we just said whatever. Well, you mean like what? Like what? Sometimes elderly parents have to move in with their kids. Sometimes children have to meet financial obligations because their parents outlive their money. Sometimes children have to speak to their parents about, is it time to stop driving? Is it time to move to a different house or a facility so you can get proper attention? There was a wise, if not wily, sister in Tennessee, older sister in Tennessee named Doris Beck. And she was telling me one time, I was visiting with her, just kind of seeing how Sister Doris was, widowed at the time. And she said, "Well, Andrew, I'll just tell you this right now. You can't tell your children about every time you fall down." She said, "You only get 3 falls." She goes, "After that third fall, they'll take you away and then they'll put you in some type of assisted living or a home or something. So pick your 3 wisely." She was a character and a dear, dear elderly sister in Christ. But I tell you what, she understood and was preparing me that golden years can be difficult years. And that's when we need to remember our mothers and not neglect our mothers. Because if we are forsaking them in that time, we are despising them, not honoring them. Isn't it remarkable how practical and immediate, how day in and day out, the Proverbs talks about honoring mother, honoring father, honoring mother. And so those are 3 things that's not honoring mother. So let's get to the positive side. As we go to number 2 in the notes, now that's honoring your mother. Let's look at these Proverbs, and here's the things that we ought to be about in the day in and day out. We want to give our mothers joy, honor them. How? 3 things. First, practicing righteousness will bring honor to your mother and bring joy to your mother. In Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25, we're actually going to take our next 2 points out of these 2 verses. But Proverbs 23 says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice." The father of who? The righteous. "Will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him." Begets a wise child. "Let your father and your mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice." Rejoice. We've warned against the path of foolishness decried in the book of Proverbs, but what about the path of righteousness? These are the behaviors and the activities to pursue that we're told will bring her joy, make her glad. And Proverbs is a profile of the righteous. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read all these to you right now, but you have them in your notes, and they are a good read. What does the righteous look like? It's one who understands that the Lord provides in Proverbs 10 and verse 3. And the parents of the righteous are quite confident that in their faithfulness to the Lord will make sure that they never suffer want. They have a foundation, even in times of the whirlwind. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 25, because the foundation of the righteous is the word of God. The foundation of the righteous is God Almighty. The righteous surround themselves with good friends. The kind of friends who help them to make right choices and to make them more easily. The righteous are marked by their prayers in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 26, apologize for the format issue, but what the scripture says right there is that they are generous. Raising up children who are generous with their own funds and support for those less fortunate and the neighbors around them, they are generous. The righteous are noted for their tenacity. They get back up. In Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16, they're not overcome by life because their strength is in the Lord. The righteous, particularly one placed in authority, will use their authority to bless others and to help others. And so parents see a generosity and a desire to aid those alive and well in their children. Likewise, in Proverbs 29 and verse number 7, it is the righteous who thinks of others, who thinks of the poor, who thinks of the people who need him. And it is the righteous, Proverbs 10 verse 31, who when they speak wisdom. What is the beginning of knowledge? What is the beginning of wisdom? It's the fear of the Lord, isn't it? It is the fear of the Lord. And that is a profile, the type of character and faith that I know godly parents are trying to instill in their children, in their youth. And as we manifest that, we bring glory to God and we bring joy to our mother. We want to choose wisdom in Proverbs 23 and verse 24. Proverbs 23 verse 24, again, "He who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." Choose wisdom. Not unrelated to righteousness. As we said a moment ago, the beginning of righteousness. The wonderful example we have in Jesus Christ. We've been looking at him and the way he honored parents, the way he grew up. It said He increased in wisdom in Luke 2, verse 52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Mothers worry enough for their children. We don't need to give them a lot of unnecessary grief. And I will just say that there's an awful lot of wonderful wisdom and pearls that we have been given from our mothers. It might be fun if we had time to go around the room and just ask, what's one of those great sayings that your mother taught you that still rings in your ears even today, maybe especially today since it's Mother's Day? I'll give you a little list of some things I bet your mother never said and taught you a lot of wisdom. I bet your mother would never say, how on earth can you see that TV sitting so far back? I wish you'd get closer to the screen. That'd be good for your eyes. Bet your mother never said that. Bet your mother never said, yeah, I used to skip school a lot too. Yeah, you don't need to go today. I bet she never said that. I bet your mother never said, hey, let me smell that shirt. Oh yeah, that's good for another week. Keep wearing that one. No, you didn't hear that from your mother? Your mother probably never said, curfew's a time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. Probably not. Did your mother ever say, hey, don't bother with a napkin, just use your sleeve? I never heard those things either. Mothers were teaching us wisdom and to choose paths of wisdom. Choose the word of God and the way of God and walk in it. Finally, bless her. Now this is how you honor mother. Bless her. And it really does exceed a day. As we conclude Proverbs chapter 31, which is the virtuous woman or the virtuous wife, notice Proverbs 31 verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Who's praising mother here? It's husband, isn't it? Husband and father. And then even her own children. And I will say to the husbands and my brothers in the room, it is so important that you model affection and proper... praise your wife. And praise your wife in front of your children. And I will tell you why. I will tell you why. Because it will teach the boys that you are raising how to behave and how to treat a wife. And it will teach the girls that you are raising an expectation for the kind of man that they want to marry. And a godly wife is to be praised. A godly mother is to be praised. And that affection needs to be shown. It's shown in words. I love you, Mom. And I don't know anyone who gets tired of hearing that. It's shown in gifts, cards, acts of service, compliments, touch, hugs, communicating love and honor and praise, that which is due her. Do we give our mothers the affection they deserve? Maybe sometimes we've taken them for granted. But true blessing comes from the Lord, and the Lord uses us then as families to bless our family, and especially to bless our mothers. I'll tell you this morning that cards and flowers and chocolates, very nice gifts and tokens of affection for a mother. But we've seen from the Word of God, honoring your mother, it is a whole lot more. Let's follow the Word of God and honor our mothers. Thank you so much for your good attention. If you want to put your Bibles away and put your notes away, I know our brother has another song he's going to lead us in just a moment. But if you would, I'd like to have a quick word of prayer. Our great God and Father, we are humble today and we are grateful, mindful of the gift of family. For some here in the room, this may be their first Mother's Day. For some in the room, Father, that their mother has passed away, and it's a sorrowful day. But Father, wherever we are in those relationships, might we be humble today before you and before your word to redeem the time we have this day, to take the most and the best, the godly examples of those parents you put in our lives, and to pass those things forward. To make changes in our relationships, whether it be towards parents or parents towards children, to have the kind of home that you desire for us that would bring glory to you and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we love you, we want to be faithful to your word and so faithful in these relationships to our parents and to our mothers. Please bless us, God, to that end. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There's a wonderful, wonderful blessing offered to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is this.